All right, and you just heard from Mayor Jacob Frey. You can tell he's a little frazzled. It's been a long day. It's been a long night, a long week for sure. And what I could sense is some of those questions, he was probably a little non-responsive. I don't know if that's tiredness. I don't know if it's wanting to let other people answer some of the questions that are more directly police related, more directly fire related, but at the end of the day, he is the mayor of Minneapolis, and we do want to have some answers from him. So we're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Jimmy Sengenberger in Denver. We are continuing our coverage of, I hate to say it, the Minneapolis riots. The cover of the Strib tomorrow, the last I saw, a state of agony, and that is a really great but sad way to describe it. We just heard from the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey. He says, we are united as a city. Well, the images certainly don't show that. We need to be united as a city, folks, because what started on Memorial Day night, think about the poignancy of that, Memorial Day, a day that we're remembering the heroes that died for our freedom. What started in Minneapolis with a very unnecessary death and led to more violence or protests and then violence and more violence in Minneapolis and St. Paul has bled out to other cities. Our text lines are open, folks. If you want to share your thoughts, send me a text, 651-989-9226. One listener says, Rashini, you have given me excellent reason to stay up tonight. Phenomenal job, always insightful. Thank you so much, and I really count on you to share your thoughts with me. So phone and text lines are open. Are you out there? Were you out there tonight? I'd love to hear from you. I know there are a lot of emotions flowing through our bodies, flowing through our hearts and our minds. And it is important that we maybe start thinking about leading with our hearts and not with the rage and not with the frustration and not with the sadness. We really need to lead with our hearts, and maybe we can have some answers and some resolution. I did hear one of the reporters out at the press conference tonight asking Mayor Frey about the National Guard. I am very curious. Are the National Guard out there right now? I mean, the Third Precinct is basically burning down. There are fires. There's violence. There's looting that continues. Where is the National Guard? I would like to know. The governor of our state has called for the Guard. The feds have called for the Guard. The president has put out the National Guard, and the governor of our state calling out the Minnesota Guard. I don't know, folks. It's a time that it's hard to have words. It's hard to really understand and know what to think, what to say, because we want answers. But it's important to realize we are all part of the solution. And there is systemic racism in our state, in our city of Minneapolis, in the city of St. Paul. We can't deny that. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it as a collective? How are we going to open our hearts, our minds, and brains, regardless of the color of our skin, to hear what someone who doesn't look like us, doesn't sound like us, has to say, in order to solve some of the issues? Can we do it? Do you have the power to do it? We've heard people say that this kind of anxiety, this kind of anger, this kind of violence only happens when people are disgruntled, when people are impoverished. So it's really, really tough to imagine how we're going to get through it together, but we can. We need to find that strength within ourselves to get together. Devin, I'd love to go to either Mark or Sloan, if we have them on the line, get an update with what's happening in the streets of Minneapolis. Last we checked in with Sloan, she was in downtown Minneapolis, I think, on 4th and Nicollet. So I'm not sure where she is now, hoping she can give us some kind of live update from the streets.
Let me give me about 15 to 20 seconds, seconds, and I'll get her.
Yep. Okay. You do that. You do that. And once again, the phone and text lines are open, folks. If you want to share with us tonight, and I know it's late, are you where the action is and you can't sleep because you're hearing the noise or you've been woken by it or you're worried, you're fearful of something happening to your loved ones, to you? I know we have some close family that is near where some of that rioting, the looting is happening, and we are concerned about them. So it is really tough to put that, all those feelings that we're going through right now, and come up with something rational. What I'm hoping is the words of Mayor Fry, we will be united as a city. I'm really hoping that that can come through and that that actually is something we can all do and live with and believe and get over the anxiety or the rage or the frustration that we may be feeling right now. That's what I'm really hoping.
Whenever you want, Sloan's there.
Yep. Sloan Martin, thank you so much. Sloan, how are you? Can you hear me? I know we've got some audio things going on here. I'm not sure that Sloan
can hear got
me.
You, Rasheeni. Okay, I'm here. I'm outside City Hall.
All right. Well, how are things looking there, Sloan? I know you've had a very long day.
Yeah, I have, and I've been all over the place today, most recently right here in downtown Minneapolis. I am away from the action right now. You know, what started out at around 5 o'clock today was several thousand people out here in full force for what was really a peaceful march throughout downtown Minneapolis. And then I've just seen since then a good number of people, a couple hundred people consistently, just continuing to have these tense face-offs with police. It started to feel a little bit like, I don't want to diminish it because there are still people who are very angry about the death of George Floyd, but I also, you know, it felt like it was a lot of young people. There was a little bit of casualness if you were away from that line against that confrontation with state patrol officers. So it was a little bit of a different feel in every single location that we've seen, which is different from the past 2 days, has had this different kind of ebb and flow, this different kind of demeanor. So it's been interesting to observe.
And I don't know, Sloan, if you heard any of Mayor Fry's press conference at all, but and the National Guard, I mean, I am wondering about that. What are you getting on the streets when it comes to the National Guard?
I have not seen National Guard here in downtown Minneapolis, and I have seen state patrol, so we do know that these state reinforcements are coming in, but I have not seen National Guard specifically. There was at one point I did think that I saw a National Guard vehicle, because it looked familiar to me. It wasn't an armored vehicle like we saw during the Super Bowl in the same area in downtown Minneapolis, but it looked like a type of vehicle you don't normally see law enforcement here employing. I wasn't quick enough for me to take a picture. They drove off while I was walking on the sidewalk. So that's the only kind of glimpse that I've gotten. But it's good a point to bring up because I don't think we got kind of the exact answer about that from the mayor as well.
Yeah, I mean, that is one thing. And as I was listening to that, I felt like none of his answers were really clear and crystal and crisp. And I don't know that that's just because he's exhausted. I think there's a lot of confusion happening in our city right now.
And that's a tough thing to come to terms with, Rasheeni, because of what we're seeing happening right now. And I completely agree with you. I thought that maybe the only new information we got was that it was Mayor Fry who made the call to abandon the third precinct, and the fact that he said it was about public safety when he said, brick and mortar is not as important as lives. And that was really, to me, the only new information that I gleaned from that press conference. And I thought that, and maybe you can disagree with me, Rasheeni, I was surprised to detect some terseness, and obviously I understand how chaotic things are, how unprecedented this is, and how obviously stressful things are, but I think during a time when people are looking to our leaders to offer assurances and maybe some optimism for seeing a way out of this or an end to this, I don't think it hit the mark at all, not close.
You know, I totally agree with that. And in fact, it's a bummer because I don't want to come down on him. I do not want to be too hard on him at this time. But
oh,
this
yeah, it's
exactly,
such a hard situation.
Yeah, it is. But this is exactly when we need all of our leaders, all of our elected officials to step up, be calm, be the voice of reason, and truly lead.
And even just to make us feel okay. I mean, maybe there's no way to do that on a night like tonight in the last three nights that we have seen. And that makes it all the more depressing, I think, to see what we've seen happen to our communities here in Minneapolis. But then to feel like there is, like you said, maybe some confusion or maybe just an element of not having that type of tone we need to be seeing at this time. And it was interesting to hear you bring that up as well. Leadership, it comes down to me, leadership is really hard. It is really hard, and I'm thinking about that a lot in times like this.
Well, and there's another piece here. There's a dynamic going on, Sloan, which is the dynamic that the mayor is one of the bosses of all the police officers. And yesterday he came out saying, you know, these guys need to be in jail. And I'm not saying a lot of the community doesn't agree with that, but that's just not maybe the thing the mayor should be saying at that time before any official charges or anything like that have happened.
Yes, and, you know, that's we've been seeing a lot of outpouring when it does come to that, too. I don't know, Rashinia, have you caught the tweet from Ryan Winkler, the House Majority Leader, where he said that people need to know that there is a murder trial that is imminent, you know, an arrest being made. I don't have it pulled up right now. I saw it earlier on here tonight.
Yeah, I'll pull that up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a you know, that's a high-ranking lawmaker who is speaking you know, really seriously about this. So, we're seeing just different messages, different tones, I feel like, from the leadership here in what is a very chaotic situation. I mean, the third precinct looks like absolute anarchy.
Exactly. Those pictures, I just can't believe. It's like a war zone is what it looks like to me, Sloan, when I see those pictures.
Yes.
I do want to take a moment to ask you about your own safety. You've been out there. Have you ever felt unsafe? Has anyone ever approached you or threatened you?
You know, one person did, but I don't want to speculate if that person might have had, like, mental health struggles. So, to me, it was more of a one-off situation and maybe more of a misunderstanding. In general, I don't really fear for my safety here. I'm always aware of my surroundings. It was a little bit rattling yesterday when I was in South Minneapolis because of just how large the crowd was. And when you're seeing, you know, a couple hundred people sprint in your direction, that's a little bit of a strange thing to process at the time and then trying to figure out what you're doing. So there have been moments, especially when I've seen there's another time where a Minneapolis police officer was holding up one of those non-lethal type of weapons up on top of the roof of the third precinct when it was, you know, still standing as a building and kind of raised it in my direction. And so moments like that where it just is like a ping of, accelerated awareness, I guess we can call it that. But overall, I've covered enough of these to kind of know what to expect. I like having conversations with people, hearing what they have to say, as painful as it is. It's just such an important thing to bring those voices into what we cover, because that is who we need to be hearing from at this time as well. It's not just about the looting and those kind of things that we're seeing. It's also about the message of why people are out here doing what they're doing.
Sloan, before we let you go this hour, and we'll talk to you next hour, I do want to say I saw an exchange on Twitter about you earlier today. You had a string going of things you were reporting on. You were sharing some pictures, and some people were trying to draw you out and ask you, well, what's your opinion about this? And others were saying, she's reporting. And I want to just applaud you because you are a reporter, and I draw you into sharing opinion, but you are really out there trying to to show us what is going on and being objective. And that is the role of the reporter. And so I applaud you for doing that. And a lot of your colleagues out there from our station and others are trying to do the same. And I hope the public remembers that.
Thanks very much, Roshini. I appreciate that. That was funny seeing that happen today. And yes, it does, you know, just make me think about how lucky we are to live in the Twin Cities with such a robust media presence. I'm really proud to be working alongside everyone here.
All right. Well, that is Sloan Martin live on the scene near the Government Center. Sloan, we'll talk with you next hour. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Roshini.
Rashini Rajkumar with you until at least 4 a.m. We're going to take a quick break.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. A tense and violent night in parts of Minneapolis. Protesters set a police precinct on fire near the site where George Floyd was killed on Monday. Mayor Jacob Frey just spoke with reporters.
It became clear that there were imminent threats to both officers and public. And the danger became necessary, and I made the decision to evacuate the third precinct.
It's also been a dangerous night for fire crews trying to respond to the many fires that have been set. Fire Chief John Frutell.
We are escorted in by law enforcement. We also have some NAFA guardsmen with us tonight, and they established a small perimeter for us to function in. And that's a key piece of this. And if we get anywhere, there's just a number of projectiles and rocks and those types of things thrown at us, it makes it very difficult.
And right now in Minneapolis, fires continue to burn.
From the downtown Minneapolis studios of News Talk A30 WCCO, this is Minnesota's most trusted station for news.
Just after 2 o'clock on this Friday morning, WCCO Radio News, I'm Mark Frey. As we just heard from Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey addressing what's been a night of destruction across the Twin Cities, especially in Minneapolis down at the 3rd Precinct, where Mayor Frey made the decision to pull police officers earlier in the evening due to violence down that way as a fire erupted through the 3rd Precinct earlier tonight as it continues to burn. This evening, we're joined by Sloan Martin, our WCCO radio reporter, who's been out about this evening throughout Minneapolis. Sloan, how are you doing? We do have that audio from Jacob Frey we can share tonight as well. But Sloan, first of all, how are you doing?
Doing just fine outside of City Hall. Hearing from Mayor Jacob Frey, and just from what I've seen on social media and hearing here out in the streets, was wanting to hear something from him. So that started around 1:25 and was pretty short, but he did get in front of the cameras in order to speak not only to the media, but to the public as well during a time that's really scary and uncertain.
What I can tell you is that through this pandemic, Chief Arredondo has my 100% support. Chief Friedel and the fire department has my 100% support. We're going to be united as a city.
So he said he made the call to abandon the 3rd Precinct, as you mentioned, Mark, due to threats to officers' safety. He said brick and mortar is not as important as human life. We got an update. Should expect to see, the National Guard making a presence here after it was deployed by Governor Walz. I had not seen them myself, but I did see a report from an eyewitness that they did see some armored tanks on the street as well, or some of those vehicles that you see for the National Guard that aren't necessarily used here in local law enforcement. But Mark, that was really the biggest news that I took from this, was him saying that it was his call, Mayor Frey's call, in order to abandon the 3rd Precinct headquarters.
Yeah, and I think there's some maybe questions as to when that call came through as far as when to abandon those, that precinct. And I think there might be some other questions about other precincts and the safety of those right now throughout Minneapolis, and haven't really been able to get much of a word on what the status of those precincts are. And Sloan, where you are now at City Hall, is it pretty quiet near City Hall, or are there people still kind of hanging around?
Oh, at least here near City Hall, it is basically completely empty. The main action was happening along Hennepin and Nicollet Avenue at different points in this evening. The last I left things before coming over here to City Hall, it was right at 4th in Nicollet. So a residential area and also a corporate area. I was looking right at the Xcel Energy headquarters at the corner of Nicollet and 4th. So it's much different look than what we're seeing here in downtown Minneapolis. Not quite, nothing will compare to the destruction that is being seen at the 3rd Precinct and over there on Lake Street. But there were still a lot of broken windows, a lot of damage over there, too. I'm over near the Government Plaza light rail station, and it seems like a lot of the chaos has not really reached here, just some signs of graffiti in the shelters.
Yeah, as it continues. And I'm following a few reporters, one from it looks like the Pioneer Press reporting that in front of that 3rd Precinct, a couple of U.S. Postal Service vans are on fire as the fires continue to rage on. Also near Allianz Field, I understand there are a few fires going on as well. The stadium is not on fire. I think some people thrown off by a few pictures floating around, but there's still the fire just continues to erupt. But Sloan, thank you again for your continued coverage tonight, and I hope you continue to stay safe.
Thanks, Mark.
That is Sloan Martin with WCCO Radio, and we'll send it back to Roshini Rajkumar as Roshini, as it just continues this evening as more and more we learn about what's going on, not only in Minneapolis, but just the Twin Cities in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Mark, for your coverage tonight, as well as Sloan Martin live in the field. Roshini Rajkumar with you tonight, at least until about 4 a.m. Let us update you on where we are as we have continuing coverage of our Minneapolis riots, unfortunately. And those riots have bled out into other states, other cities, of course, in St. Paul. We're on the third night of protests and riots in Minneapolis. Today, things bled out into St. Paul. Tonight, things have also gone over the borders into Chicago, into Kentucky, into Memphis, into Los Angeles. So all of these cities, people in these cities coming together to protest the death of George Floyd that happened Monday night. And what we do know is the four officers involved in that are pleading the fifth. Hennepin County's attorney Mike Friedman says they are not cooperating. They're pleading the fifth. So he will conduct his investigation and make a decision whether murder charges will come out of this. And as you know, because you've been listening to us, you have been watching the headlines and reading the headlines. Many people do feel that charges have to come out of this. How are things happening all around the country? We're going to Denver talk show host of Jimmy at the Crossroads, Jimmy Sangenberger. Jimmy, are you there?
Yes, I am, Roshini. Good evening, good morning. I don't know exactly what to say at this hour. It's just after one now here in Denver. I know two there, but it's good to be with you tonight, as difficult as these times are.
Thank you so much for staying up with us tonight. First, I want to ask you, because there were protests and there was some violence in Denver Thursday night. Fill us in.
Yeah, well, Roshini, clearly these protests and the riots have spilled over across the country. So in downtown Denver, we had several hundred protesters that came out to express their sadness, anguish over what is happening in Minneapolis, which you all are experiencing there with this absolute travesty that was the death of George Floyd. And today it erupted into some more violence in Denver now. And now, we didn't see fires and anything that was too extravagant, but we did see instances where there was traffic halted on both directions of our major highway, I-25. It had to be broken up by police with tear gas. Police cars and legislators' cars at the state capitol were vandalized with glass busted open, including the Senate president's vehicle, reportedly. Also, police were using tear gas in that area to break up protests and riots and points. In fact, at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time today, thereabouts, there were shots fired near the state capitol. It doesn't appear that there were any injuries, thankfully, but it did cause a panic, and the Capitol building was graffitied. It's nothing quite like the Twin Cities, but what we're seeing across the country now is an expansion of these protests and some of the riots and more. And it is, I think, deeply troubling that we're seeing violence and destruction of property and theft of property as a reaction here, because, look, first of all, it is it breaks everybody's heart across the country what's happened, and I think that the police officers behind this responsible need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I'm glad there's an investigation underway already that took place in no time to get started, but that does not justify the kind of acts that we're seeing in Minneapolis, in St. Paul, here in Denver, where you've got those, you know, the destruction of people's personal property and their businesses and their livelihood. And it's sad to see that it is spreading in other parts of the country. As much as it is important for people to speak out against injustice and mistreatment and senseless death and violence like we've seen now with George Floyd's death.
Yeah, I think what we can all agree on is this is senseless. It should not have happened. Now, Jimmy has a show, Jimmy at the Crossroads. He is a self-described conservative. And, Jimmy, you were listening to our live stream. You heard our mayor, Jacob Frey, in his, basically press conference around 1:30 a.m. Central Time. What's your reaction to what he had to say?
Did I understand, because you were cutting in and out there for a moment, that you were asking me about your mayor?
Yes, in the press conference and this.
Yeah, so I don't know much about Mayor Frey of Minneapolis. However, I've seen in the past couple of days through some of his press conferences. And what I can say is, at least from an outside observer's viewpoint, is I felt that he was lacking in expressing a plan. When the reporter asked him for a plan, I didn't feel like he was providing an actual assessment of here's the situation and here's where we're headed, which I definitely think is necessary. I mean, if you're going to get up and do a press conference at 1:30 in the morning, I think it would be wise to have some specific points that you can say and get across right in the beginning. I mean, he went up and he said, made the comment about brick and mortars not as important as life, talking about the third precinct that the police have left. But at that point, I would have liked to see him explain, here's what we're doing, here are the steps being taken, now I will answer your questions. I did think that it was interesting when he got fired up, when he was asked about the press comments, President Trump's tweet, which I don't think the president should have made that tweet, most definitely. But that was the one instance where I saw him get a little more passionate. And at least as an outsider, I would have liked to see him get a little bit more impassioned about his criticisms and calls for the violence to stop, because I think when you're seeing, I mean, I'm watching the pictures of your part of the country being literally in flames and all these businesses having been looted, just as we're trying to start with the reopening process when people have been struggling with their businesses and more. And I think we really need to see our leaders across the country condemn all different acts of violence and injustice that are going on, whether it's George Floyd's murder, potentially, I mean, that's what's being accused of by some, and or what we're seeing in terms of the vandalism.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is what is so difficult, is at times like this, we want our leaders to be calm, but also be passionate. And they have to find the right tone. And, you know, I was on your show earlier on Thursday, and that's the problem. We have seen our mayor, Jacob Frey, and I hate to pile it on, but we have seen him not really find his comfort level with what the tone is. So I do hope he can regroup on Friday. I'm glad he had this press conference tonight, even though I don't know that it broke any news, but I am glad that he at least spoke, because that's what we do need to hear. We need to hear from our leaders. We need to hear our leaders say, stop the violence, stop the madness, look in your hearts, and let's be united. And he did try to say, we are a united city. Well, we're not right now, but at least he said that word, united. What is your take, Jimmy? I have to ask you real quickly. You're watching these images, and violence here leads to violence where you are, leads to violence in cities across the nation. We are such an interconnected country. That is not going to change. And this is an election year. How do you see this playing out?
You know, it's so interesting. I think the coronavirus pandemic and the shutdowns that we've seen, all the lockdowns, and now the reopening, I don't think you can really separate these two. Because, and I know you and I were talking about this on my web show in partnership with the Washington Examiner, Jimmy at the Crossroads, earlier on Thursday, but one of the things that's been striking to me is I've been concerned about the potential for civil unrest, that you just need some sort of an instance that might bring it about, because people have been suffering. They have been feeling terror, having to be forced in their homes, wondering about this virus, wondering about their livelihoods. 40 million Americans out of work. It's unprecedented, some of the economic malaise that we're facing right now. So there's anguish. There's a lot of frustration. I think so much that's been pent up as people have been cooped up in their homes for months and seemingly never ending. And even the reopenings across the country are taking a long time to get under. And so, one hand, I'm not so surprised that something would bring this about. What's so sad, of course, is how it is another instance that is tied to police and a racial incident and the loss of more life and so forth, all building up to this kind of moment or providing that instance for civil unrest to come about. And so I think that right now we have to look at the reaction for many to the death of George Floyd and the coronavirus pandemic, and kind of keep it in perspective that maybe in terms of the extent of this unrest, that there's a connection between the two, and the politics, I think, will play out from both as well, because what you're seeing is how the president handles this amidst the pandemic. You're seeing how local leaders and your governor are handling this crisis amidst the pandemic crisis. And so that's what's going to be interesting to watch, is how the two play out together. I think it's a little early to draw any political conclusions. Maybe once we get into later in June or into July, we can assess better the fallout. At this point, I wouldn't say that I don't think anybody could really say who it helps or hurts when we're looking at it from a political standpoint, which, by the way, nobody ever wants to look at tragedies and crises from a political standpoint. But the reality, as you point out, Rasheeda, is that it is an election year, which means that we have to be considering some of the political implications, especially if you are in the media, as you and I both are.
I'm talking with Jimmy Sengenberger. He is based in Denver. He's a talk show host. His show, Jimmy at the Crossroads, and he also has another show on Saturdays in the evening, and that is on 7:10 a.m., right, KMUS in Denver?
That's right.
And Jimmy at the Crossroads is Monday through Friday on Facebook Live and YouTube, so you can check that show out on YouTube. Before we let you go, Jimmy, I want to give people the number. If they have any questions, they can call in or text us, 651-989-9226. Rasheeda Rajakumar with you until about 4 a.m., and I would love to hear from you. What are you feeling right now? Jimmy, I have to ask you this, because I'm brown, you're white. We are dealing with the death of an African-American man, and it was four officers involved in that incident of different races, as I understand it. And what is your take as someone who is a conservative, you're white, you're male? Do you think you look at the issue of race differently from me or from the family of George Floyd?
You know, that is always a very difficult question. I certainly think that when we look at the different backgrounds ethnically and racially in this country, there are always going to be differences in how we view the world from that racial or ethnic standpoint because of how our life experiences shape us. I mean, that's the number one thing. I think race, ethnicity, religion, those things can influence how we navigate through life, the kinds of experiences that we have, and how we view the world. At the same time, I think there's also an interesting aspect in terms of generational circumstances. For example, I'm a millennial. I will be 30 coming up in August. And so I'm looking at this as well from the perspective of someone who grew up in a generation that, at least until Generation Z, was the most diverse that we've had in the United States. And so I think that also gives a different perspective that millennials, in my view, tend to be a lot more focused on what can we do to come together as a human race and look at things and understand that, you know, we're all in this together. And I think it breaks down some of those binds, or rather some of those differences or walls of differences at times when you are raised up in a generation that is much more diverse. And so I think there's a generational component too, where I would say people who are, say President Trump's generation, that we have a very different view of a lot of the ways in which we interact with one another based on race, based on ethnicity, perhaps, than a lot of folks of that generation, just in terms of how how you are as people day to day. So I think that the racial difference in terms of mindset on how we look at these issues is one factor. I also think that there is a generational thing that can be a little bit more different, if that makes sense, when we're talking about the younger generations that have grown up in more diverse dynamics. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. And, you know, we all have our own biases. We really do. And sometimes that involves racial ignorance. Sometimes it involves very strong opinions about different kinds of people, you know. And here's the thing. We're living, even before this tragedy happened, we have been living in a crisis, and that's the global pandemic of COVID-19. One listener texts this in, where's the new group of 10 or less laws? That's true. I mean, those kind of went out the window with these protests and these riots, and it also puts in perspective what we should be focused on right now. And the only way we're going to solve even the global pandemic is by coming together, cutting through race, cutting through gender, cutting through generational issues. I want to ask you this, Jimmy, because you are a talk show host, I'm a talk show host, we can share opinion. Sloan Martin, she's out in the field, she's a reporter, and she is a very good reporter. She'll be joining us shortly after 2:30 and giving us an update live from the field. But what's your take on reporters actually covering this in a factual way? What are your thoughts as you watch the scenes coming out of Minneapolis, national media, and your local media covering it?
You know, it's so interesting because I think it really depends. What was striking to me is how little coverage some outlets like CNN and MSNBC seem to be given to Minneapolis until last night, when you finally started to see things just get to a point where you could not provide much more coverage. And I think that what they were focusing on before was much more COVID-19 and the president's handling of it and the death count and so forth. And I think it was more of a political decision. And once they got focused on it, it seems like the coverage, at least in terms of some of the factual aspects of this, were presented fairly well. But at the same time, we've got this, going to your point about 2020, we've got this 2020 political cycle. And so when President Trump puts out tweets and makes comments, and then the media takes those and then puts their spin on it, they go to a press conference with Kayleigh McEnany and then ask their certain questions and so forth, that demonstrate, I think, more and more this sort of slant that, well, we have some really good, solid reporters, I think, especially locally. I have to say that local reporters, I think, do a better job at trying to reflect things in a more balanced fashion than a lot of the national media outlets do. And so I think that you have some reporters who the bias comes in, the social bias sometimes, how they view social issues, societal issues, how they view politics or the president, seeps too much into the reportage, especially of national media. But then there are some who are getting the facts. I mean, there's some local outlets here that I think did a good job just presenting, here's what happened with these riots and protests in the Denver area, for example. And so it really is a mixed bag. I think there's too much politicization of reporters and how they present things, but it seems that it tends to be worse at a national level than at a local level.
Right. And, you know, we had CNN reporters and other national reporters on the scene tonight. They're still out there. And one of the things when I turned on the TV around 10:30 tonight, you saw the CNN reporter visibly shocked that the third precinct did not have any more police presence. And we learned during Mayor Jacob Frey's press conference that he made the call to get the police officers out of there. And now we'll wait and see what happens with the Minnesota Guard, the National Guard, and all of those people coming through.
Can I make one more point?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, so this is something I think is so striking. We talked about this earlier Thursday as well in my program, but I'm so encouraged by and also kind of struck by the fact that across the country, when we talk about what happened to George Floyd and this senseless death that just doesn't seem like there was any basis for how they did any of it in terms of the content, the conduct of these officers, there seems to be near universal agreement. I can't say universal, but near universal agreement that this was fundamentally wrong. There was no justification for it. The investigation needs to be done as quickly as possible, and that they need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And I find it interesting because when we talk about instances of police and the death of a black man at the hands of a police officer, there are a lot of times in the past where we haven't seen that sort of near universal rallying cry that justice must be done in this case. It seems that the visual that we saw in the video and seeing 5+ minutes of police officer's knee on the neck of George Floyd really crystallized the image of injustice in a way that crossed all sorts of mental barriers, and we saw it as opposed to some other circumstances where you have different accounts, maybe spotty footage, what have you. And I think that it's worth noting that in this situation, riots aside, where you have some people who I think are taking advantage of this and are less than sincere about their opposition to what happened with George Floyd, and instead what we see is a majority of people, vast majority, are rallying together, at least on the notion that a wrong was done here and justice must be done in return.
Right. Very well said, Jimmy Sangenberger, and I really hope that that rallying together now can go toward rebuilding the streets of Minneapolis and St. Paul and other cities around the country, including yours.
Absolutely.
Denver.
And I just want to say, too, that my heart goes out to you and everybody in the community in the Twin City area and what's happening in Minnesota. Everybody across the country has our thoughts and prayers pointed your way, because it is a very difficult time, not just because of the travesty that was done to George Floyd, but also because of now what we're seeing, just as people are trying to look at reopening and getting back to business and what have you, then you see livelihoods lost, buildings burned, places, Targets, other stores looted, and it is devastating to think about the implications of all of this once the current crisis of all the riots passes. And so thoughts and prayers to everybody there from Denver.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Jimmy Sangenberger. You can catch him on Jimmy and the Crossroads Monday through Friday on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, as well as Saturdays on his political show on 710 KNUS in Denver. Thank you so much, Jimmy, for joining us.
Really. Thank you, Rasheen. Best of luck.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll go out to the streets with Sloan Martin. Rasheeni Rajkumar back with you, and with you until at least 4 a.m. We're going to go live now to the streets of downtown Minneapolis, where Sloan Martin, who's been reporting since this afternoon, is there. Sloan, what's the latest?
Well, starting right now to monitor, seeing maybe something growing, especially around the 4th Precinct headquarters, and that is right around in the north side. That was the site of the two-week-long camp-out protest that happened when Jamar Clark died. So far, I'm seeing right now from Strib reporter Libor Johnny, he is saying there's about three dozen people that are there right now, but he also posted a picture of a car being on fire. Here in downtown Minneapolis, though, after that Mayor Jacob Frey presser, things still pretty calm for the most part, as things are pretty concentrated right around the Nicollet Mall, but it seemed like things were starting to dissipate a little bit. So we could be seeing more possibly here into the early hours of the morning, things maybe even spreading out again, and it makes me wonder what will happen tomorrow, because we woke up today and saw things spilling over in St. Paul, and who knows where things might spill out into the next day, Friday.
Well, Sloan, that's so true. We're learning from Mark Frey in our newsroom that Governor Walz will address the state's response to protests and safety at 10 a.m. on Friday. So what we maybe didn't get from Mayor Frey tonight, hopefully we will get more information from Governor Walz on Friday.
And I think that's due, Rashini, because the last time that Governor Walz had spoken publicly to the media and therefore the public was at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. And that was also rolled into a COVID-19 update. And so that is something to look forward to for tomorrow. I'm sure we will all be listening about. Of course, we know that state resources are being used here in the Twin Cities, especially with the National Guard coming in and also with State Patrol coming in as well. So we know that those resources are being deployed, but there's a lot that still needs to be said here about how this is going to be addressed.
Sloan Martin is live in downtown Minneapolis. We've learned during the day Thursday, Sloan, that 14 Target stores have been closed in Minneapolis and St. Paul in a few of the suburbs. I want to talk with you about covering this topic. We talked a little bit about that last hour, but I wanted to get into that more with you this hour. You have been out there this week. It has been a crazy week for anyone in news. What is your reaction to covering this story?
I think about what is, you know, the most important thing to bring to our listeners. I've made it a real focus point, and this is how I am every day when I'm reporting, is hearing from, you know, everyday people who, in this case, are literally out on the street, hearing about why people are doing this. And I've thought about how this is a historic time, seeing the riots and the looting like this, seeing the response to the death of George Floyd, and even that death itself setting off everything that we've been seeing nationwide. And already as we're going through it, knowing that this is going to be a huge moment in all of our lives, especially here locally. So trying to just do the job, be alert, observe things, report what you know, going to just the toolbox that we all just have in this job. But definitely those thoughts creep in, Rashini, about how I'm going to remember this and what my experiences are.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk more with you in the next half hour or so, as long as we have you tonight. We'll give you
Rashini,
a break.
Rashini, can I actually
get to go back out, get some... Yeah, yeah.
Can I just say one more thing real quick? I just saw this, too, that President Trump tweeted about what was happening over at the 3rd Precinct tonight in Minneapolis. I just saw that Twitter has basically muted the tweet that said, quote, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. And it says this tweet violates Twitter's rules about glorifying violence. However, Twitter has determined it may be in the public's interest for the tweet to remain available. So it's one of those things where you can click to view it, but technically it says that it violates Twitter's terms of usage for saying when the looting starts, shooting starts. So I thought that was significant just because the president is tweeting about our current situation, and it also coincides with this mess with, you know, the company of Twitter as well that we've been hearing about today.
Absolutely. I'm actually staring at that tweet. I printed that out at 11:53 p.m. around the time you tweeted it. So very interesting development even on Twitter. Sloan Martin live in downtown Minneapolis. We'll check back in with you very shortly.
Thanks.
And Sloan Martin has been live out on the streets of Minneapolis since about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Sloan, what are you seeing now?
In downtown Minneapolis, things are pretty quiet, Rashini. Even driving around again to make sure, you know, I'm not missing any protesters. There still is a group and there still is those state patrol officers who are around the Nicollet Mall. But at least so far, not seeing the same kind of looting that I was seeing a couple of hours ago. It's going to be pretty ugly if you go take a look at the Nicollet Mall, especially in the area of City Center. So down here in downtown, after we had that massive march, it was still a lot of really energized, agitated, and angry people who stuck around for many hours after that. And police have been holding strong here throughout the night and into this morning.
All right, so you have been in quite a few different places in downtown Minneapolis. What are some real things people are saying to you? I mean, we've heard callers tonight call in, share with me their anger, their fear, their embarrassment of what life is like in our Twin Cities area right now. But what are people saying to you during your coverage?
I mean, a lot of what you just said, Rashini, and I think what really struck me when you said embarrassment, and maybe some of the callers you've heard from have said it in a different way, but it has exposed for a national audience the inequities, the racial inequities that we deal with here in Minnesota. And there are so many wonderful markers of a wonderful place to live and just in terms of quality of life here in the Twin Cities. But this has really laid bare that we cannot ignore these things, like racism and systemic racism. And that's something that I am hearing from protesters, that from all the ones I've talked to, that this is not just about one man's death. It's very much about one man's death in George Floyd and the manner in which he died. But it's also this culmination of just inequity and discrimination that is built up over decades and even longer to get to this point, that it just felt like a boiling point, Rashini. And the people I've talked to, even if they don't agree with the looting, a lot of them have kind of stood by and watched and thought, I understand it. I understand the anger. Even though it feels like we're hurting ourselves and it's hurting so many other community members, it still is balancing out with the anger and frustration that so many people are feeling. So that is not to, you know, make excuses for what is happening and how badly people are being hurt by this. But, you know, just what I hear from protesters is this is so much more, and it's really big, and it is systemic that is leading to what we're seeing.
Right. And, you know, what you're talking about really has lasted much longer than both of our lifetimes. But what we've seen in history is often it takes tragedies, it takes major shifts to completely change something that is so negative. I mean, look at some of the terrible institutions of our past and social ills of our past. They took a long time to overcome, but it took major, you know, almost seismic shifts to change.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's what we are living through now, Sloan.
And I would love to think that it is that way, Rashini, because I know that a lot of protesters think about deep issues, not only systemic racism, but just the nature of policing and community policing and not having things be status quo, really questioning institutions that have been around us and we've lived under for a very long time. Those are hard things to grapple with. How do you readjust an entire very familiar system to us? But I think what we've seen this week, they wanted to make a point, and they made a point that people are paying attention and people are listening. I think even, you know, people who maybe argue that the looting and the violence takes away from it, yeah, maybe it does, you know, take the conversation away from George Floyd. That was what St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter said today. He said, channel this energy into trying to enact change and also to honor the memory of George Floyd. But you certainly cannot say that they did not get a message across.
Right. And I think we do have to separate the protesters who were there peacefully.
Yes.
And the rioters and the looters who had anger and violence. This text is coming in, Sloan, and I know you're going to, we have got to let you go here soon, but this person says Mayor Fry's press conference shows he is clearly in over his head with no plan to thwart the violence and rioters. Where was his police force? fire department and National Guard while Minneapolis burns to the ground. His duty is to protect his city. I hate reading this, but I can understand why this listener texted this in.
I think, you know, and there might be a lot of people who have that sentiment. And we should say it too, again, Rashimi, that we are expected to hear from Governor Walz tomorrow at 10 a.m. So I think that will be a very important and much needed update and a voice to hear from the governor. But I'll be interested to see, maybe when people are awake, more people are awake, about what their impressions are of that Fry press conference and seeing what is happening. But another thing I saw, Rashimi, it is kind of unfathomable to think about what the recovery is going to look like, and just not just monetarily, but emotionally as well. How many businesses will be able to bounce back from this? What is Lake Street going to look like after this? So there's going to be a lot of minority and immigrant-owned businesses over on Lake Street that are hurting very badly after this, and you just think about the money during a pandemic. So there's a lot that needs to, you know, maybe not be addressed exactly at this time, but it's a voice in Fry that we need to continue to hear, even if it's at 1:25 in the morning.
You know, and I know you're right there in the thick of things in downtown Minneapolis, Sloan, but it is through these times that leaders, good leaders and humble leaders, can also admit maybe they messed up at first, but they're going to reset the course, and they're going to bring leaders together, and hopefully we will come out of this as a unified city, as a unified state. That is what I am still hopeful for, Sloan.
Rashimi, and I totally agree, but I want to, one interesting thing will be, think about comparing this to Betsy Hodges during Jamar Clark, where a lot of people maybe had a sour taste in their mouth after that situation and how she handled
right.
it. It'll be interesting to
right.
look back on it.
Yes, it will. Sloan Martin, thanks a lot for your great reporting all day and into the night. Get some rest.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. It was another night of protests, looting, and violence in Minneapolis. Protesters chanting the name of George Floyd, the man whose death has sparked the outrage. A police precinct was set on fire. President Trump on Twitter criticized the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Fry, for what Mr. Trump called a lack of leadership, and he threatened to assume control of the situation. The mayor responded.
Donald Trump knows nothing about the strength of Minneapolis. We are strong as hell. Is this a difficult time period? Yes, but you better be damn sure that we're going to get through this.
This woman in Minneapolis says African Americans need to be treated properly.
The treatment of black people in America is ridiculous. It is not okay at all. It is just very, very sad.
From the downtown Minneapolis studios of News Talk A30 WCCO, this is Minnesota's most trusted station for news.
I'm Mark Fry, just after 3 o'clock on this Friday morning, where Minneapolis and St. Paul remain on fire as protesters, looters, and rioters react to Monday night's death of George Floyd. At this hour, we're following fires around the Twin Cities, including fires on Snelling Avenue, no more than 100 yards away from Allianz Field, according to WCCO TV photographer Lewis Carpel. We're now joined once again by Sloan Martin, who's been out and about all night since about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And Sloan, how are you doing, and what are you seeing right now?
Doing fine, Mark. I'm still seeing a good numbered crowd here in downtown Minneapolis. Still people out and about, a much different feel and demeanor than certainly what happened tonight at the 3rd Precinct, and also maybe what we're still seeing in St. Paul, which started late morning yesterday on Thursday. So a lot has happened in our metro area over today. I did want to talk about Mayor Jacob Fry's press conference. It started at 1:25 this morning. I saw, you know, people on Twitter, not just journalists, but also regular folks wondering, just wanting to hear his voice. He did tell us, though, that it was him who made the decision to abandon the 3rd Precinct.
What I can tell you is that through this pandemic, Chief Arredondo has my 100% support. Chief Friedel and the fire department has my 100% support.
We're going to be united as a city.
That was Fry earlier today, also explaining that he does stand behind other city leaders. The decision, he said, to abandon the third precinct comes in the concern of officer safety. He said brick and mortar is not as important as human lives. So that's what we heard from Mayor Jacob Fry tonight. But it looks like there are still people out and about. Mark, I'm sure you're seeing what might be developing. Still a small crowd there, maybe over near the fourth precinct in North Minneapolis. That, of course, very well known here in Minneapolis as the site of the two-week campout around the death of Jamar Clark.
Yeah, nothing totally official around what's all happening up there. But as you said, there is a contingency gathering around there right now. And we'll continue to follow that here as we're just across the 3 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Sloan, thank you for your time once again. And go home and get home safely. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mark.
That's Sloan Martin here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we will hear from Governor Tim Walz at 10 o'clock later this morning at 10 o'clock as he'll address the state's response to protests and public safety concerns in Minnesota. Once again, that's 10 o'clock coming up later on this Friday morning. But we'll send it back over to Roshini Rajkumar as she continues to follow developing stories all throughout the Twin Cities, not just in Minneapolis, but in St. Paul as well.